We are in the second half of John 18. We're starting at verse 28. Let me tell you what I'm going to tell you what we're going to cover today. We're going to finish up John 18, then we're going to go into John 19 and go through verse 16. And then we're going to stop. A lot of people call John chapter 17, when Jesus prays, they call that the Holy of Holies. And I believe there's a lot of great material in John 17. But John 18 and 19 and then 20 are, I believe, the real, I mean, this is the stuff that Christianity is all about. This is the pinnacle of this whole thing. John has been leading up to this for 17 chapters. He's been proving over and over and again to his readers about who Jesus Christ is. And he's now going to tell the story of exactly how he died, why he died, what was the purpose of his death, and then his subsequent resurrection. And again, it's going to be a little bit tricky going through John, because John does not always give material that is in the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We usually just lump those together. We call those the synoptics. Those three are loosely connected and have a lot of the same material. John knows that these Gospels, especially Mark, has already been circulating. So most people already know the story. John's going to fill in some of the details that the other Gospels don't have. So there's going to be sections he's going to skip and other information he's going to put in. I will try to supplement the story so you kind of know where we're at with the traditional story that we know, but they can all be harmonized, but I'm not going to try and step on John's toes, and I'm going to try and let this John story come through. You're going to see John's major theme throughout this crucifixion is that Jesus Christ is the King. It started off when Peter slices off the ear of the servant of the high priest, and John is the only one that records his name, Malchus, my king. He is fixated on this thing. You're going to see everything kind of ties in back to Jesus Christ being the king. And it's quite ironic that he dies because he claims to be king, and they mock him as a fake king, but he really is the king, and in order to become the king, he had to go through that. And that's the irony that John is trying to pick up on through this whole section. I won't go through a full synopsis, but you kind of got, again, John 18, Jesus is arrested in the garden. We get more stuff. He's taken to Annas. Peter denies him. And then Annas questions him in verse 19. And then Peter denies him second and third time, verses 25 and following. And then we get to 28. And again, we have different, when we piece it all together, we know what happens. He goes from Annas to Caiaphas to a mock trial before the Sanhedrin. All of it highly illegal, but it's pushed through the Jewish court of law, so to speak. Then it gets taken to the government, and it's going to go from Pilate to Herod to Pilate. We're not going to read about two of those three. We're only going to get the section of just in front of Pilate. We don't hear how he gets sent off to Herod and actually gets mocked by Herod himself. We're just going to have this information with Pilate. Verse 28. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning. I hope so. The rooster has been crowing. And to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. Now that is just crazy talk. They are on a mission to kill somebody. They are, dare I say it, hell-bent to do this. They will stop at nothing to kill this man, but they don't want to enter into a Gentile's house because they might become ceremonially unclean and not be able to partake in the Passover. Now the Passover has already taken place, the Passover proper. Then after that is a full week of the Festival of the Unleavened Bread, and that's what it's in reference to. Some people take this passage to try and prove a Wednesday crucifixion. Now, I'm not going to get into Wednesday or Thursday crucifixion. I happen to believe it was a Friday crucifixion. I know others that don't believe, but there are two schools of thought about when exactly did Christ die. Did he die on a Wednesday or did he die on a Friday? That, to me, it's an interesting discussion, but essentially it's all academic because essentially he died. And so this, and again, the idea that they are so worried about, now why would you become unclean if you entered into a Gentile's house? Well, they had the belief that if they aborted their fetus, Gentiles often aborted their fetuses, or after a child was born and if the child died early on, they would just simply dig a hole in the ground right around their house or inside their house, or they'd put it in the wall structure, they'd put these dead corpses. And so the Jews said, well, we don't know who's done this and who's not done this, so we can't go into a Gentile house because then we'll be standing on a grave, and if we're on a grave, then we become ceremonially unclean and we can't partake the Passover. But they're on this mission to kill somebody. It just fascinates me how people get fixated on certain things to try and justify what they're doing. A seminary person, I remember, he was fixated on this whole thing about contemporary worship. He was so upset that if there was ever a church that used guitars or drums or keyboards, or if they would allow a woman to read scripture in front of a church, oh, he was so angry, he was so upset, and he was doing all this stuff and telling the rest of us that believed otherwise that we were all going to hell and we were leading the church astray. And then we come to find out he was taken out of seminary because he was addicted to internet pornography and was leading a homosexual lifestyle. He had this baggage that he was carrying, and it was interesting talking with the 8 o'clock group. They were amazed that someone could lead that kind of thing about being so focused on the stuff without dealing with the junk that they got. And sometimes you have all that garbage there, and it's you feel so guilty. You got to focus on something. But that's why Jesus said, take the log out of your own eye before you take the speck out of your friend's. My goodness, this guy was, and that's exactly what they're doing. They are, oh, we can't step into that house because we might be ceremonially unclean. So can you please kill this man for us? It's ludicrous what they do. It's very ironic how they, I can go on that. Let's keep moving. So Pilate came out to them. Good old Pilate. What charges are you bringing against this man? Pilate's a proper man. He's going to do it right. He's going to have this trial and he's going to have it right. So what is the charges you're bringing against this man? If he were not a criminal, they replied, we would not have handed him over to you. Did anyone hear an answer in that? There's no answer in that. Again, the chief priests are trying to find the shortcuts. We already know Pilate and the Jews have been conspiring. How do I know that? When they got dispatched out to the Garden of Gethsemane, who showed up? The temple priests and the Roman garrison. You can't have the permission of the Roman garrison unless you have permission from Pilate to go and do it. So Pilate's been in on this whole thing, but he's showing this kind of air of propriety. He's going to try and do things right. So he's like, well, what charges do you bring? And they're like, kill him. You know, we've handed him over to you. You should know the answer to that question. And they just want the shortcut. So Pilate says, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. Which they could have, if they wanted to. I mean, had other people been stoned? In the book of Acts, who gets killed? Good old Stephen. He gets killed by stoning. How many times was Jesus almost stoned? They always talks about they were so angry they picked up rocks and started, you know, they were going to kill him. And I love it. Then that's the whole Jesus slipped away. Again, that's my matrix. I think everything went slow-mo and Jesus is like, doo-doo-doo, you know. That they kill people all the time. Now, they weren't officially allowed to by the Roman government. They had taken away the right to capital punishment, but they still did it. And the Romans often just turn a blind eye, especially when it was religious matters. So he could have been killed at a moment's notice. How come he's being turned over to the government? Well, there's a very specific reason why he's being turned over to the government. But we have no, I'm in the middle of verse 31. But we have no right to execute anyone, the Jews objected, and that was true. The right of capital punishment had been taken away from them. Verse 32, this happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. He's already said it a couple of times, that he's going to be lifted up. And those words being lifted up is the same words when it's talking about crucifixion being lifted up on a cross. He's already told him he's going to die by crucifixion. He has to be killed by crucifixion. He can't be killed by stoning, or else he would break his own law. He would break his own rules that he set up. So that's the reason why, and isn't it interesting that the Jewish government was doing all that they could, the religious government was doing everything it can and unwittingly fulfilling prophecy. Amazing. And I'll just say there's another reason why they wanted him crucified. He claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed to be the Son of God. There's one way to prove that he was not the Messiah. Kill him by crucifixion, because they had it clear in their head. Cursed is anyone that hangs on a tree. If you die by crucifixion, if you're hung on a tree, you are not the Messiah because you're cursed, cursed by God. Isn't that interesting? Because it fulfills everything that Christ said that he came to do, was to take the curse on him. And that's going to be highlighted up here too. So, Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, are you king of the Jews? Because he wants to know, he wants to try and find a legal way to kill this guy. He can't kill him for blasphemy because that's the Jewish law, it's not Roman law, but if he's able to prove that Jesus was an insurrectionist, if he was a rabble-rouser, a terrorist, and that he was claiming to be king and was trying to set up a kingly government and trying to overthrow what Caesar had already set up, then he could kill him just like that and have no problem. So he starts this line of interrogation, "Are you king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" Be careful if you ask that question of yourselves. You need to ask that question of yourself. Right? Teenagers, you need to ask this question of yourself. Do not believe because your parents believe. That's weak. Do you believe just because someone else said to you that Jesus was the Messiah? Well, that's not that good. Or do you have that own idea yourself? I challenge teenagers like that all the time. Don't believe because your parents are believers. Better to stand up and say you don't believe and take your lumps. Be honest with yourself. Have some integrity. If you don't believe, say it. But if you do believe because you believe, not because of your parents' idea. Same question. That's a question you can ponder constantly. And you have to ask that of yourself. Why do I believe? Verse 35. "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it that you've done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "Aha! You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And Pilate asked back this very probing question, "What is truth?" Again, another great question to ask it from the lips of a Roman prefect. What is truth? People have really tried to abolish truth. People have said that there is no truth, and everything is relative. That, my friends, will only lead to anarchy. I mean, what if my truth was that you should die? It's my truth. It's relative, and maybe it disagrees with everyone else here, but what if I think you should die? Is my truth then actual truth? Where do we get this concept of morality? Why is it ingrained in us, this idea that we shouldn't kill and steal and sleep around? Where did that come from? That all came from God's law implanted on our hearts. It's proof of who we are. If it's not, if you don't believe in a God, I don't understand why you're still here. I mean, is this world that exciting to you? Is this world so enjoyable that you're going to stick around and see how it plays out? Why there's not a higher suicide rate amongst atheists, I have not figured out. Why there isn't more anarchy, and maybe that's the direction we're headed as we see a lot of crazy things happening in this world. A lot of people are taking their stuff into their own hands. You know, you wonder about things like Columbine and things like that. As people say, "I've got my truth, and my truth is this," and then they do their truth, that's when it gets really dangerous. I tell you, there is truth. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." There is truth. There is right. There is wrong. We should start following. Pilate, I believe at this point, thinks Jesus is a crazy man. Just my opinion. I mean, come on, honestly, if this was an episode of Law and Order, right? And we had this dude on the stand, he's all, "My kingdom is not of this world, and if it were, I would have my servants come and fight for me." And like, well, who is that? What are you, some weird... I would think the guy's a nut job. I think that's what Pilate's thinking of this dude. Like, this dude's no insurrectionist. He's very peaceable. He had no resistance in the garden except for some weird zealot that cut off the high priest's servant's ear. So he probably is thinking, this guy's a peaceable guy. He's kind of like Gandhi. But he's got some sort of following. But he's not going to cause a terrorist activity. Pilate can't execute him. Oh. So he goes back out. Oh, and I love it. I wish Pilate would have stayed for the answer. I wish it was recorded. "What is truth?" Pilate asks, and then he leaves. With this, he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" Isn't that interesting? Again, the king. It all focused around this concept of him being the king. "Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now, Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Now, that's kind of a wimpy way of saying it. If we were going to put it in our vernacular, we'd say Barabbas was a terrorist. Barabbas was a terrorist, and he loved to lead. And he's giving Pilate things again, slam dunk case. He doesn't go into a lot of description about this Passover thing. Another gospel writer does, in fact, record it. We also know that Barabbas' first name was Jesus. Yeah, if you don't know the answer, come on, people. Jesus, death. Barabbas' first name was? All right, there we go, good. And so it's this contrast between Jesus Barabbas and Jesus the King. Pilate thinks it's a slam dunk. I mean, if the Jews wanted to overthrow Roman occupation, boy, they would need an insurrectionist. They'd need a little terrorist. Boy, I could release this guy and then, or this peace-loving dude, and he's not going to do anything. And they shout back, no, 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 they want Barabbas. Verse 19. Sorry, chapter 19. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. I'm sorry, has he been sentenced to death yet? The gospel writers are very clear that he was flogged after he was sentenced to death, which means two floggings. Two floggings. This one, and there's different, they actually had different degrees of floggings that you could do. It's hard to tell if they actually followed it. Again, my apologies if this is going to be graphic, but you need to know what it is. If you don't know what flogging is all about, you just have to rent The Passion and you'll know all about it. Some people say Mel Gibson was gratuitously violent. He didn't do enough. He pulled back because it's very, very graphic. And I don't think he did it so that we could watch that gore. Give me a break. No, he was doing it to try and show. I mean, and what he depicted, again, this would be the only time we could pull off that with the computer-generated graphics that we have now. It would often start with a cane, a rod, and they would just be beaten. And they'd have strips of flesh taken off. And then they'd be flogged. And the flogging, you'd take these strips of leather, and you would embed bone or glass or like hunks, metal balls and stuff like that. And the person would be put on a stump, and they would often just spread out like this, and they'd have their head down, and then they'd be whipped. And the idea was that you were supposed to die in the flogging. That was the whole purpose. So yeah, the strips would wrap around the person's body, and then as they pulled, it would rip all the way around. And that was the idea. And that's the reason why when you watch The Passion and you see what they did a very good job of portraying, that is what happens. Again, it wasn't graphic enough because when Jesus was done, it just looked like he had a lot of paper cuts. I mean, I know they were trying not to get too gross. It just looked like he had like a million paper cuts on him. But no, Josephus says after a flogging, you would see the person's intestines or their bones because everything was just ripped off. And you would often die. I am almost confident that Pilate wanted him to die that way because it'd be easy. It'd be the easy route. It'd be the easy route to say, look, it wasn't me. I didn't sentence him to death. This big Roman brutes, guards, killed him. It wasn't my fault. Could Jesus have died at the hands of the Romans in a flogging? No, he had to die by crucifixion. It didn't matter how long they whipped him, how long they beat him, he was still going to be alive until that very end. This is an absolutely brutal torture, this idea behind flogging. Brutal. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. We believe that the thorns indigenous in that area, there's acacia bushes that were around, and these acacia bushes had thorns about that big. They're brutal. And if you've ever had a cut on your face, you know that, 50%? I forgot. I'd have to find a science teacher, biology teacher. The amount of blood vessels you have in your head is really high. Something like 50.
Bleed like crazy.
Yeah, you bleed like crazy. It happens all the time. You know, my kid walks in, and he's got blood all over his face. And he's got like this little nick on his forehead. Like, what in the world? That's because the amount of blood that pours. So when these thorns went in, and I think Mel Gibson, again, he got it right. When they put it on there, I don't think they just, set it lightly on his head. No, that would be too good. No, they probably then got a stick and jammed it down or just kind of beat it down. And the thorns are going in and the amount of blood is in his eyes and he can't see. And he's bleeding quite heavily. He's probably going into hypovolemic shock, loss of blood. He's having a hard time. He is hurting in a big way. It is interesting. Why a crown of thorns? I mean, that's just... If they knew that they were fulfilling prophecy, I mean, would you? We talk about the idea that Jesus hung on the cross for us. Again, I pray that the details don't shock you into thing that you don't get why it's so important to talk about the crucifixion. And that's because this was a punishment that should have been on us for eternity. And he took it on him. He bore the curse. It said, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And Jesus actually did carry that curse for us. Every sin that had ever been committed by any person over all the spans of years was laid on him. And the crown of thorns shows that. How's that? You remember the Garden of Eden, right? Someone eats an apple and husband blames the wife. The wife blames the snake. God comes in, starts cleaning house. Snake, you're going to crawl on the ground and eat dust the rest of your life. Woman, sorry, it's going to be painful when you give birth. Yeah, we still got that curse, don't we? Yeah. Praise God for continuous drip epidurals. Yeah, we're trying everything to counteract that curse. But the man, what was his curse? Do you remember the curse of the man? He was going to toil by the sweat of his brow, and the ground was not going to just produce fruit magically. It was going to produce, specifically, it says, thorns. A symbol, can we say, of the curse. And here, a crown of thorns on his head. The curse laid right on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here's the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify." But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." He's thinking the sympathy whipping vote's going to kick in. Like, look, you wanted this guy punished? Fine. He's punished. He's been flogged. He's got blood all over the place. He's probably going to die within the week from his wounds. Isn't that good enough? But not for the Jewish people. They needed him on a tree. They needed him crucified. They needed an example. This has to be done. The Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." And look at this response. This is fascinating. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. Whoa! Yeah! Find out Pilate's a superstitious kind of guy. And they were. They were very superstitious back then. Remember the book of Acts, two of the disciples were thought to be gods. They strolled into town and were like, "Ah, the gods are here!" And they worshipped him as gods. I'm like, nope, sorry, no, we're not gods. They believed all the time the gods would come down and visit man and intermingle and do stuff and then head on back up to Mount Olympus or the heavens or wherever they abode. And so now this whole thing of the Son of God. And I believe, I can't prove it, but I believe that the wife of Pilate said that very phrase. I think that was a catchphrase. Because remember, the wife had a dream. Said, "Have nothing to do with this man. He's a righteous man." I believe that maybe even that phrase, "Son of God," was probably even used. Because that seems to be the trigger. He hears this phrase, "the Son of God," and he goes, "Oh." Another interrogation. So he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. Why is that? Hello? Yeah, don't move, because then you'll know. Okay. Who is it? Is it Andy? No? Oh, it's Ken! Ah! He's just sitting there all nice and crazy. Where do you come? Now, why did Jesus not tell him where he was from? "I'm from Milwaukee." Why did he not say, "I'm from heaven"? What would Pilate have done if he found out he was from heaven? He would have probably let him go. Are you kidding me? Are you okay? Sorry about that. My deepest apologies. Off you go. Could he be released? Was it possible for Jesus to be released? No. He had to go to the end. He had to go through the crucifixion. So when he says, "Where you come from?" Jesus is like, not going to say a thing. Because he knows he has to go. Now, wouldn't it have been easy? I tell you, Jesus had so many outs. He had so many opportunities to get out of what he was going through. And after that flogging, it would have been so easy to say everything. It would have been so easy to call on the Father. It would have been so easy to get out of it. But he took the hard road. Compare that with Pilate, who took the easy road. What are you doing over there? You kicked it. It's okay. I'm just going to turn this off. Because we don't need it. I don't have any more PowerPoint. All right. Pilate is going to take the easy road. Pilate is going to take the expedient road. Pilate is going to take the convenient road. Jesus is going to take the hard road. Where'd you come from? Jesus gave him no answer. Verse 10, do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said, don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? And he did. He had the power. He was the prefect of the region. He had all authority to say, lives, dies. Jesus answered, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. I wonder what he's referring to. Probably a double entendre. He would have no power unless Caesar had granted him that power, and he would also not have that power unless God was allowing this whole thing to happen. Because if God wanted it stopped at any moment, it could have been stopped. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. Who is that one that was handed over? We don't think it was Judas. We think that he's referencing Caiaphas. He doesn't say it, but I think it's Caiaphas as the official leader of the Jewish group. And the reason why we say it, we don't think it was the Jewish leadership itself in totality, because the word that's used here is a singular word, so we think it's in reference to a specific purpose. Most people seem to agree it's Caiaphas. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. Isn't that interesting? I don't understand that. He tried to set Jesus free? Did he have the power to set him free? Yeah, he could have said, what is this trying to set free stuff? Again, it's this interesting thing with Pilate. He's trying to take the easy way. He wants everything to be answered for him. He has the authority. He should have just said, he's not guilty. Next trial, please. But he was worried. And the priest knew this. Listen to what they say. If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. And that's when Pilate knows he's in trouble. These guys are playing political hardball. See, Pilate's on probation right now. Pilate has messed up as a Roman prefect so much because of his brutality. And that shows a little bit about Pilate. Pilate was a brutal man, but I think he really thought there was something special about this Jesus person, but he never acted on it. That was his downfall. Pilate was never afraid to kill people. He killed people all the time. There's an insurrection about a couple decades earlier than that where he just hired people. He's all, here, can you carry this dagger for me in your cloak? And yeah, we're going to get this whole section. You guys go out into this crowd. And the crowd was, you know, rabble-rousing. It was, all these fights were starting to break out. And your job was just, if you go up and you're standing next to someone and they're opposing Caesar or they're causing problems, just take the knife, quietly slip it up in their ribs, in their heart, and then they'll fall to the ground to pull it out and go on to the next person. And I tell you, it wasn't that long before the voices seemed to die down. And there wasn't any rabble rouse. That's how he handled it. He killed people all the time. Why is he not just saying, oh, fine, Jesus, who really cares? Kill him! I think he knows. I think he knows that this Jesus character is something special. But he doesn't act on it. Oh, he's too much like us, isn't he? He's too much like us. He has the power. How much power do you guys have as Christians? I mean, if you just consider, I mean, do you have all the resources of the king? Do you have all the resources of God at your disposal? If you don't know if you have them or not, read the book of Acts. You'll find out very quickly. We all have it. If you're not sure about spiritual gifts, read that, 1 Corinthians 14 through 16, those chapters. You have great power. Use it. Just use it. Don't get a committee. Don't write a paper and figure out whether it should be good or bad. If you have the power, use it. If you know the right thing to do, do it. Don't think about it. Don't say, I have the power to choose what is right or wrong. Don't talk about it. Do it. Do the right thing. That'd be the sermon I wish I could preach to Pilate. And so Pilate knows that if he gets reported to Caesar, he's pretty much dead. If he's not dead, he's deposed. He is deposed eventually in 36 AD. He and Caiaphas are ripped out because they're totally mishandling everything. And they get shipped off and exiled. So he gets his punishment anyway. But he probably could have died right thereafter. But that would be, I bet you looking back, he would have preferred that. I think he would have preferred to stand the ground, do the right thing, take the lumps, and whatever comes, comes. It's the right thing to do, so I'm just going to do it. Friend of Caesar's. Verse 13, when Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. I'm looking about 6 a.m. here, 6 to 9, somewhere around there. Here's your king, Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, take him away, take him away. Crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. Oh, the depth of depravity is finally revealed. We have no king but Caesar. That's the depth of depravity. It's not anti-Semitic. I'm sorry, if you're white and you're stupid, I'll say you're stupid. If you're from the South, if you're rich, if you're poor, if you're male, if you're female, I'm not being anti-Semitic here. This just shows the depth of depravity of these people's hearts. And it penetrates all races. It penetrates all belief systems. These people, at that place in time, were absolutely corrupt, saying they had no king but Caesar. That shows their true allegiance. They could care less about their laws. It was all about the politics. See, they belonged to the group of the Sadducees, very wealthy political group. And they had exchanged favors all the time. That's the reason why they wanted this guy dead, because he was saying all these new things, and there was this groundswell of support from this lay ministry that was going on. They knew he had to be stopped, because if he wasn't, they actually might have to have a new religious setup. And the favors, again, the religious people said that they hated the occupation of Rome, but they still paid them. They gave them money. I mean, what would you say if I said today I'm going to take the offering boxes, I'm going to tally up all the money, I'm going to send it into the president's presidential fund of President of the United States? Y'all be like, you whack, what are you talking about? You can't do that. That's just downright wrong. No, I don't do that, okay? Whether you hate Bush or you like Bush, that doesn't matter. It's just wrong. That's what was happening. They had the temple treasury. They were giving it to Rome half the time. Rome was taking it half the time. The other half the times, they were just freely giving it up. It was dirty. It was downright corrupt. Pilate tried. He had the right belief system, I think. He had the worst follow-through known to mankind, because he finally handed him over to them to be crucified. Yeah, and again, you know, it's that catch-22 with, well, he had to be crucified. Well, Pilate had to do it. Well, again, he had the choice. God knew the choice, and the choice was going to be crucifixion. So it's not, Pilate, he could have done it. He could have if he wanted to, but he didn't. Yes, Kim. Yeah, obviously it wouldn't have been successful, but I tell you, there are pilots walking around us right now. I mean, how many times have he could have just used me. I mean, I would have probably been available for the job. I mean, the wishy-washiness that we sometimes have. I tell you, do you know what the right thing is to do? You kind of know the difference between right and wrong. You know what you should do. That's why, I mean, and we are all infected with it. And that's why Paul says, the good that I want to do, I don't do, and the bad that I know I shouldn't be doing, I keep doing that. That's just code for I keep doing the bad things instead of the good things. And that's Pilate's problem. He knew what the right thing to do, but knowing and doing are two different things. Let your actions match your convictions. Then you will be a good witness. Then things will start going. And don't think about it. Don't sit around going, gosh, what should I do? Should I do the right thing or the wrong thing? No. You know the right thing. You have the power to do the right thing. You've been given it to you by Jesus Christ. But there's also, of course, another message. If you choose wrong, that's the whole reason why he died. That was the whole purpose. His whole purpose was to redeem us and to save us. The whole purpose was to rescue us, because we keep choosing wrong. Again, no license to sin doesn't give us that opportunity. We take a lesson from Pilate. Let us learn from him. Don't repeat his mistake, but it said learn from it and grow from it. Next week, we go into the crucifixion. If you don't know how they crucified people, you can just watch The Passion. It's very accurate, except for that holding the weird demon baby thing. That was all kind of weird in The Passion. Remember that part? Where holding the, that was kind of weird. It's a Catholic thing, I think. So, but I tell you, it's... I pray that the details don't dissuade you from why. Never forget the why. If it wasn't going to be the Jewish people that put them up there, it would have been you and me. And I tell you, it was not nails that held him to the cross. It was his passionate love for you that held him there. Let's pray. Lord, how many times have I taken the easy route only to find out that was the wrong route? I know the right route. I know the right things to do. And why do I keep failing, Lord? I'm just not availing myself of your power. I fail to remember that you have done so much for me. I shudder to think of the amount of physical pain Christ must have gone through. It horrifies me to think about what he had to endure. And that at any moment he could have stopped, but he didn't. At any moment he could have just come down from there. At any moment he could have said enough's enough, but he didn't. Pilate helped it along. The Jewish leaders were the instigators in it all, but I know that you had to go that way. You had to do what you had to do because you love me. I hope that doesn't sound shallow, Lord. I use that word love so casually, but you really do truly love me. And you can't stand to imagine eternity without me. And so you gave so much for me. I pray, Lord, that you would help me. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, that we would know what to do, and that we would just do it. That you would just shed that stuff from us, that you would cleanse us from that. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we have made those poor choices. And give us the strength and the courage and the conviction and the action to follow through. We thank you for this study, for the time to open up your word and to understand and to grow. And I pray that you would help us to grow. And we pray this all in the will of Christ. Amen.